I've got just two scriptures that I'd like to read tonight. One of them is in the Epistle to the Hebrews, in chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 37. For yet a very little while, he that comes will come and will not delay. But the just shall live by faith. And then chapter 11. Now faith is the substantiating of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. My second scripture is in John 14, John's Gospel, chapter 14. And if we could read from verse 2, in my Father's house, there are many abodes. Were it not so, I had told you, for I go to prepare you a place. And if I go and shall prepare you a place, I am coming again and shall receive you to myself, that where I am, ye also may be. And ye know where I go, and ye know the way. He's coming again. That's what these scriptures tell us. And the question that I have to ask you tonight, are you ready? Friends, a question that is often issued from behind the desk in the gospel is this: where will you spend eternity? It's a question that you can't avoid. Question you're going to have to face one of these days. And the fact that Jesus is coming again, and I can't tell you when he's coming, but it could be tonight. Friend, where would you stand? Where are you going? Is heaven your home? Do you have an eternal future? God is speaking to our hearts to remind us that there's a Saviour that I want to proclaim to you in the gospel. And he's able and he's willing to save. You know, I just want to tell a little story at the start of the gospel this evening for the little ones, if the older ones will forgive me, but relates to an aeroplane that was flying over to America heading for Chicago. And it circled round because the weather was pretty bad. And after some long while, it eventually touched down. And as is usual, the announcement came through over the speakers by the stewardess to say, I want to welcome you to Chicago Airport. And then there was a pause. And then she spoke again and she said, that's what I'd like to do. But she says, unfortunately, because of the weather, you're not at Chicago Airport. You're at Indianapolis instead. Friend, I want to tell you tonight about a destination that's absolutely sure. I want to tell you about a time when everybody who trusts in my Saviour is going to be called up to be forever with him, to be forever with the Lord. And when that happens, the scripture tells us quite clearly that it will be in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye. And I say that because there's no time to be lost. Because when it happens, you won't have time to think about it. You won't have time to remember, oh yes, I heard the preachings at the Tarring Road Room and other rooms. I heard the gospel proclaimed. I was told of my Saviour. And I never made sure I was heading for the right destination. And as one of those wise proverbs tells us, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof, the destination thereof, is the ways of death. Friend, where are you going? I say to you tonight, you look around in the conditions in the world. Well, you don't need to. But friend, you know full well that things aren't going to go on indefinitely. And the gospel is preached, and I preach to you urgently. There may be no tomorrow may dawn on you or me. Why will you risk the peril of a lost eternity when God in his grace is prepared to save you, prepared to offer salvation through the precious work of Jesus? And in the scripture that we have here, it says, yet a very little while. It's not long, is it? Talk to many Christians today, you know, and they'll tell you, don't think it's going to be long till the Lord comes. You're looking forward to it? Looking forward to the day when you see your Savior face to face? Can you say he's my Savior? Have you known what it is to come to the cross and see the one who suffered there for you and shed his precious blood to wash your sins away? Have you known what it is to own before him that you're a sinner and you need a Savior? Repentance only God requires from man, and faith in Christ, his well-beloved Son. Oh, friend, what a Savior. I thank God he's my Savior, but it's no credit to me. It'll be no credit to you either. But oh, it'll be wonderful blessing if you'll just turn to Christ tonight and own him as your Savior and make sure you're heading for the right destination. Friend, there are no alternative destinations except heaven. And solemn thing it is, you know, that we have to face it. Man likes to water things down. Man likes to decide for himself where he'll go, what he'll do. But according to God's word, are you heading for heaven? Or are you heading for a godless eternity? Oh, friend, I appeal to you tonight to have to do with the Savior of sinners, who tonight is willing to draw alongside you just where you are. He's the one who loved you enough that he went to Calvary's cross and died for you. He was despised and rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows. You think of that. The one of whom we spoke, some of us in the reading this afternoon. The very God of glory, descending from glory's highest height and coming here, made some little inferior to the angels, we were reminded. He, taking that lowly place and going even to death, and that the death of the cross. Friend, why did he do it? He did it for you. Just as you're sitting here tonight, in the comfort of a meeting hall. Oh, friend, will you not turn to Christ and own him as your Savior and your Lord? You know, there'll be a time when everyone who loves him will meet him, in the air. Think of the myriads that there will be. The dead in Christ first will rise, and then we, the living who remain, will be caught up to be forever with the Lord. What a meeting that will be. There'll be no meeting hall needed then. Oh no, it'll just be Christ. In all the glory and greatness of who he is, the wonder of the one who died upon Calvary's cross and whose face was marred more than any man's, and we shall see him face to face. I know these things are true because they're in Scripture. That the one who died for me and whose face was marred, I shall see him. What blessed anticipation it can be for our hearts then, in the present day, when we're surrounded by so much chaos. And when we're beset by all sorts of things like wandering minds and memories that don't work so well. To know that there's one certainty that we have. That we shall be with our Lord and Saviour. And why? Because we've trusted in him. Because we've believed. As John 3:16 tells us. Sorry. As the Acts 16 tells us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. No ifs, no buts, no doubts. No. Just the wonder of God's word in all its surety. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, can you say that from your heart? Do you have that blessed assurance that you'll meet him in the air? Friend, let me ask you this question again. If he came tonight, would it be for you? Where are you going? Where are you going to spend eternity? Are you quite sure you're going to finish up at the right destination? Do you have the assurance that whatever may arise in your life, like the weather conditions that beset that plane, that you're not going to go off course? You've laid hold to the truth of the gospel, and he's your saviour, and you're trusting him for time and for eternity. Your destination's heaven, and no weather can change it. Friend, we've got wonderful blessing before us, because we've got a saviour who's loved us and loves us still. And he knows just where you are in your heart. I don't know. I don't know where you are in your soul history. I think as I look around that everyone here has a link with the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. But I don't know. But there's one who does. He knows your heart. And more than that, you know too. Friend, look, if you haven't ever trusted the Saviour before, and I'm not saying how many gospel preachings you've heard, or how many times you've been to meeting halls like this. Thank God if you have, but it's your link with the Saviour that matters. And just turning to him and owning before him that you're a sinner and you want him to wash your sins away. You think of God in the Old Testament times, you know, in the prophet Isaiah. How did he have the foresight to know these things? I don't know. But come now and let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be as crimson, they shall be as wool. The Saviour of sinners, the same God of the Old Testament, is the same God of the new. And tonight, he can save you. He can give you peace. He can give you joy. He can give you assurance that your sins are all forgiven. Oh, what glad news from heaven it is. The gospel of God's grace spilling out towards men in a day when there's so much sorrow and sadness all around. Yet the glory of God seen in the face of Jesus is able to save the sinner just because he went to the cross and shed his precious blood to wash those sins away. Gone forever from before the sight of God. Gone to the extent that they'll never be remembered anymore. Gone to the point where God will never bring them up before you again. No, the precious blood of Jesus has washed those sins away. What peace it brings to our hearts to know that we're resting in what Jesus has done. But friend, he's coming soon. And do you remember the words that we had in the last verse of the hymn that we sang? I'll just read it again. Yes. Soon salvation's day to you may pass away. Then grace no more will say, yet there is room. Think about it. No more opportunities to receive the gospel. No more opportunity to know the Saviour. That destination that I spoke about, is it heaven or hell? Will you lay hold of salvation tonight? Where will you spend eternity? It's one place or the other. But God, in the fullness of his heart, has given his Son so that you might be saved. God so loved the world, the scripture says, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him might not perish, but might have everlasting life. Oh, friend, this is a wonderful Saviour that I present to you. He's my Saviour, as you well know. I trust him because he's laid down his life for me. He's done everything to satisfy God's righteous requirements. And all my sins are gone. I wouldn't like to tell you how bad they are, but God knows. But he's promised he's never going to remember them anymore. When I turn to my second scripture, and I'll only be a few moments, I read it because I'm coming again and shall receive you to myself. Now, friend, don't get me wrong. He's not receiving us to heaven. He's receiving us to himself. And what's of absolute importance in the gospel is that you don't just know the terms of it, but that you know the person whom it concerns, and that's Jesus. He's the one who went to Calvary's cross to set me free. He's the one who secured my forgiveness. He's the one who secured my place in heaven. Oh, friend, have you reserved it tonight? You think of that God in the fullness of his love has made it possible for you to be blessed, for your sins to be forgiven, for you to have peace with God and the assurance of entrance into heaven. He says, I'll go to prepare you a place. That's what he's done. He's not up there preparing it now. No, the work's been done. The work was done at Calvary, when he died in my stead, when I, as before God, as a sinner, should have borne the penalty before God of my sins, and he took them upon himself. He, the sinless one, he bore in his body my sins on the tree. Oh, what a Saviour. To think that he's done all things well, to think that he's satisfied every requirement with requirement of God. Well, where does that leave me? It leaves me with peace with God. It leaves me with a hope of eternal life. It leaves me with the hope of being with him who has loved me and given himself for me. And that eternally. Friend, it's a wonderful Saviour. And he says here, you know where I go, and you know the way. Do you know the way? Do you know what it is to turn to Jesus in true repentance and thank him that he died for your sins and ask him to forgive you? Do you know what it is to be completely free of your sins and to be trusting the one, the sinless one, he who himself was God and is God, he blessed Son of God, who stooped so low. He came from glory's highest heights. And he went even to the cross to die for you and me. But you know what? He's been into death and he's broken its power. He's triumphed over it. He went into death 3 days and three nights. He came forth by the mighty power that he has. He broke its power. He'd already raised persons from the dead when he was here, but he went into it himself. And he came forth the triumphant one and was witnessed to by, at one time, more than 500 people at once. What a witness there is to the truth of the resurrection of Christ. And then his ascension too. He's not here now upon earth, but he was upon earth after his resurrection for about 40 days. Seen of many accounts in the Bible of the truth of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now what? He's ascended. Yeah, persons saw him. They saw him ascend up to heaven. They were with him. And they saw the clouds receive him out of their sight. Oh, the glory of a man that belonged to heaven and is in heaven, seated now at his Father's right hand. And it's from the very presence of God himself that the gospel message flows out tonight to whosoever will. You can come and have to do with the Saviour. You can know that the one who died for you on Calvary's cross was raised from among the dead and is now living in heaven. And the Saviour that I proclaim to you is the Saviour who lives, the Saviour who's glorified, the Saviour who's prepared to draw near to you tonight, just where you are. It doesn't matter how great your sins may be. There's a Saviour who says, I'm prepared to forgive you, everyone, if you'll just trust me, if you'll just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can know what it is to have peace with God, and know what it is by faith to reach out to him and trust him. And then you'll have that absolute certainty. If he should come tonight, what if he should? Where will you be headed? Where will you go? Will you go to heaven to be with Christ? How sad it would be if in a day to come when every one of us will have to do with God, everyone, no exceptions, that you'd have to say, well, I heard the gospel. I heard the message of salvation. I heard about the Saviour. But I never asked for my sins to be forgiven. A missed opportunity. Don't let it go by. The Saviour tonight is appealing in the love and grace that flows from the heart of God himself. He wants to bless you. Come now. Have to do with this wonderful Saviour. And then, as you do, you'll be able to sing the hymn at the end of this meeting from your hearts. And it's only a short one, but it's one I love very much. Hymn number 162, written by a person who really knew what it was to trust in the Saviour. And these words come from our hearts. And it says, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Can you say that? This is my story. This is my song, praising my Saviour all the day long. Let's sing the hymn 162. Blessed assurance is mine, I want the full taste of glory divine, herald salvation. Oh, Holy Spirit, wash in me.
Praising my Savior.